Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, tomorrow is the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. Dick Vermeil, the former Eagles head coach, is being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I want to get into on today's show, who is going to be the next Eagles to get into Canton? That's coming up next right here on your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to a Friday edition of the show. It's episode 5 of 5 this week, downloaded into your phone wherever you get the podcast. Free and available on all platforms, on YouTube as well in video form. And make sure you hit us up on Twitter, Talking Birds, all throughout the day at Locked On Birds and at DiBiase, L-O-E. It's football season. I mean, it's been football season since training camp started for the Eagles on July 26th. But this week really feels like the start of football season. You had the Hall of Fame game yesterday between Doug Peterson's Jacksonville Jaguars and Josh McDaniel's Las Vegas Raiders. Crazy how things come full circle with head coaches. The Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony is tomorrow in Canton. The Eagles' only open training camp practice to all fans is Sunday at the Lincoln Financial Field. I'm going to be down at the link. Make sure to say hi if you see a guy with some Locked On attire down in the 100s. Make sure you say hi and we'll take a picture or something. Talking Birds, making sure we watch this team continue to put everything together because football season is here and the regular season is right around the corner. The Eagles' first preseason game is next Friday. Got a couple of those and then it is go time. We are here. It's already August 5th. Can't believe it. And with the Hall of Fame enshrinement being tomorrow, today mostly on the show, I want to get into former Eagles and current Eagles that I think are maybe next in line to make the Hall of Fame. But before we do get into that, one guy who I think is an Eagles legend, I don't think he's going to make the Hall of Fame, but he's going to make the Eagles Hall of Fame. His number should get retired. Nobody should ever wear number 55 again. It's Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham today was talking with the media, and he talked about how, and I thought this was really interesting to start the show with because I think we all totally felt what BG was saying. Number one, the best part of hearing Brandon Graham's name right now is the fact that he apparently is dominating training camp. Everybody, James Bradbury, I think, said it, Josh Sweat, Jonathan Gannon, they're saying that if you would have told them that this is a guy heading into year 13, he is 34 years old, coming off a torn Achilles, you would never know that that is exactly what his situation is, because Brandon Graham apparently has looked like his normal top tier self. And that is, again, with Jordan Davis, with Fletcher Cox, and with Milton Williams and Javon Hargrave in the middle, and you have Hassan Riddick now and Josh Sweat's emergence in 2021. Brandon Graham, if you get 2020 Brandon Graham back too with that unit, that was one of the bigger question marks this year. I mean, this pass rush is going to be unstoppable. But the other reason I'm bringing up Brandon Graham's name is because he talked to the media and mentioned that he's never had a group of cornerbacks this good in the backfield with Darius Slay and James Bradbury, and how that's going to make life so much easier for the pass rush as well. And it is so true. Gino and I talked about this last week. This could be the first time in a long time, even before the Super Bowl defense of 2017, where you go, okay, let's look at the pass rush, let's look at the defensive line, let's look at the linebackers, let's look at the corners, let's look at the safeties. Is there a position they're really winning in spite of? Because as good as the 2017 defense was at times, even 2018, 2019, you look at those defenses, and even before that, you know, like 2000 and anything after Brian Dawkins, really, in the Lito Shepard, Sheldon Brown era, that team was winning on defense in spite of something, in spite of bad linebacker play, you know, throughout the pretty much the entire 2010s, bad cornerback play, also pretty much throughout the entire 2010s. Honestly, it's been Brandon Graham's unit, the defensive line, that has carried this defense when they have been really good. They've never really won because of cornerback play or linebacker. I got to give some credit, of course, though, to safety, because you know, where you would have been without Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod, I have no idea. But Brandon Graham knows more than anybody because he's been with the team since 2010, this exact era I'm talking about, how the pass rush has had to carry the load and win in spite of corner. Corner hasn't always killed you. You know, when you had Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby in 2017, they were fine. Last year, you were good with Darius Slay, Steven Nelson, and Avante Maddox. You know, Avante Maddox, Rasul Douglas, and Craven LeBlanc got hot at the end of 2018. But he's so right. Like, they haven't had the potential star power that they have now at corner with James Bradbury, Darius Slay, and, as I mentioned yesterday, Avante Maddox, who I think is being slept on as one of the best slot corners in all of the NFL that is very important to this team's success in 2022. Brandon Graham's noticing that those guys are giving the pass rush even more time. And that's the thing. When you give this personnel with Graham, Sweat, Reddick, Cox, Hargrave, Davis, Williams, you give those linebackers time to hit home as well. You know, N'Kobe Dean, Kazir White, Davian Taylor, TJ Edwards. Those guys are already going to feast, I think, this season. But now that you have Bradbury and Slay and Maddox as your three corners, that's going to do wonders. It's going to buy them even more time. And that's the thing, is like, the Eagles have always built from the front back when it comes to their defense. They have, and same with the offense, they have always started and finished with the trenches, and then they address other positions. But the secondary helps out the pass rush as much as the pass rush has helped the secondary. Eagles fans know how much a pass rush can mask a secondary that isn't as strong, but it can be the other way around too. And I think you're going to see the benefits of that this year if you do get the 2020 version of James Bradbury, if you do get the 2021 versions of Darius Slay and Avante Maddox. It's going to do wonders for Brandon Graham and that entire unit. This defense, again, has top 10 potential. They are suffocating Jalen Hurts in the offense right now at camp, which is a great sign for that unit. Not so great for the offense, but the sky is the limit, and Graham is seeing that. And the sky is even more of the limit, if that makes any sense. It feels like an oxymoron to me, but it might even be less of a limit if Brandon Graham is who he was in 2020 before that torn Achilles last season. All right, guys, coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles, I want to get into some Hall of Fame talk. The enshrinement ceremony is tomorrow night. We had the Hall of Fame game yesterday. Former Eagles head coach Dick Vermeil is getting into Canton tomorrow. So that got me thinking, who are going to be the next Eagles that are considered to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. But first, guys, a shout out to one of our sponsors of the day, and it's Dave. Level with me here, Eagles fans. We've all been in a situation before at some point in our lives when we're a little tight on cash. Maybe you could only afford to put, like me, a few gallons of gas in your tank last year, all the time I was dealing with that. Or like me this year, you got another save the date. I have a wedding tomorrow, and I have another one 2 weeks after that. You're wondering how you're going to afford a gift. I had to take my friend on a bachelor party in New Orleans last week. That was pretty expensive. That's where Dave can help. If you're living paycheck to paycheck on a more serious note and you're struggling to make ends meet, it can be really stressful when unexpected expenses do come up. Now Dave can help you get out of a pinch when you really need it. Hindsight's 2020, and you can't change the past, but what if you could get a little help from your future self? Maybe you'd ask to borrow a little bit of cash. Now you can with Dave. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, or catch up on bills. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. There's no interest and no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief that they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave today. That's Dave, D-A-V-E, on the App Store, anyone that you have. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Future you will thank you. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back in to this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Really excited tomorrow to see, and I know there's going to be a lot of waterworks because he is a crier, but really excited to see Dick Vermeil, the former Eagles head coach, make it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also won a Super Bowl, of course, too, with the St. Louis Rams, coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, but definitely seen as an Eagles head coach as much as he's seen as a Rams coach, even though he won a title with St. Louis. You know, he was with Philadelphia longer. And, you know, Dick Vermeil, you know, when we talk about best head coaches of all time with the Eagles, it's always Andy Reid's brought up. It's kind of the same thing with quarterback. Like, we bring up Donovan McNabb and Nick Foles, right? McNabb had the quantity, Nick Foles had the quality. Nick Foles did what McNabb or any quarterback could never do and win a championship and beat Tom Brady in that championship. Same thing with head coach. Andy Reid had the tenure, the quantity from 1999 all the way up to 2012, five conference championships, a Super Bowl appearance, the most winning coach in Eagles history. The most sustained success was under Andy Reid. But Doug Peterson won them a championship. He did what Andy Reid could never do. Dick Vermeil kind of goes under the radar. I'm not saying he's a better head coach in Eagles history than Reid or Peterson, but he really is a pioneer for this franchise. He brought them to their first ever Super Bowl appearance in 1980. Yes, they lost to the Oakland Raiders, but you got to remember, and my older Eagles listeners, I'm sure, do remember how bad the Eagles were for the decade before that in the 70s. They were horrible. It was really bad in Philadelphia, so much so that we've seen this mockery of the Eagles franchise that is the Invincible movie, right? Back in the day with Disney, you know, recreating the Vince Papale story. It's not true, but the Eagles were seen as such a joke back then that, you know, the Disney portrayed it as players were lining up to try out for that team. It is factually incorrect, but fact of the matter is that's how bad it was in Philadelphia. And Dick Vermeil really did turn that around. Him, Ron Jaworski, Harold Carmichael, Wilbert Montgomery, they did help get this team to their first ever championship appearance. And, you know, he kind of did what Doug Peterson did too in 1999 with the Rams. He took a team that had lost their starting quarterback, only he did it when they lost their starting quarterback before the season even started and won a championship. So Doug Peterson lost Carson Wentz 13 weeks through the regular season. Dick Vermeil lost Trent Green, not even before the season started, and won a championship with Kurt Warner. So the emotional intelligence was always there with Vermeil, like it was for Peterson and Reid, and really happy that Vermeil is getting into the Hall of Fame. But that got me thinking into a larger topic of discussion today on the show, and it's about, you know, what players are next in line to make the Hall of Fame that were Philadelphia Eagles. And I think I want to start here with some offensive linemen. I think I'm most confident there's some players on this list that I think should get in, but there are some that I think I'm very certain will get in. And when it comes to the offensive line, I think there's a couple guys that I would guarantee, or at least it would be robbery if they did not make it into Canton. Number one is Jason Peters. I mean, I think Jason Peters, when he finally decides to hang it up, and it's incredible and sad that this guy is still going, you know, heading into his 40s now. But when he finally decides to hang him up and he is eligible, Jason Peters, I think, is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. What an amazing story, too, in the Hall of Fame. The committee is a sucker for a good underdog story. This was an undrafted tight end coming out of Arkansas that became a Hall of Fame left tackle, one of the most athletically gifted tackles, offensive linemen in general, that you have ever seen. And he was so good for so long. I think he's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. And then I think, too, when Jason Kelce hangs him up, this is one of the best centers in NFL history. And he's one of the best characters in NFL history as well. I think Lane Johnson, too, has a really good case to make the Hall of Fame. This has been one of the best tackles. And it doesn't matter. I don't know if the committee will penalize him for being a right tackle instead of left, but it shouldn't if they use proper context. Most defenses have incredible, some of the best star pass rushers come off the right side or their left side in Lane Johnson's right side. Right tackle in the NFL nowadays is as important as left tackle is. And Lane Johnson, I mean, the guy right now hasn't given up a sack in like 100 games. And of course, he's been a big advocate for mental health awareness. You know, that part of the story too is really special and motivating. Won a Super Bowl, like Jason Peters, has been one of the most athletically gifted linemen that we've ever seen in NFL history. He's played at an elite level really since he got into the league in 2013. I think when it comes to Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, you know, Lane Johnson, I don't know about Brandon Brooks. He did have some incredible stretches. He was the best offensive lineman in football in 2019. And from 2016 to 2019, he was incredible, elite, but I don't think Brooks would get in as much as I think JP should be in. I think Jason Kelce should be in. And I think Lane Johnson should make it. I think all of the Eagles star linemen of this decade should make it to the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. I like to determine the Hall of Fame, who makes it, by asking a simple question. And I don't think this is the same criteria for everybody. I know it's not the same criteria for the committee, but I always ask this question. And it leads into our quarterback discussion. Can the story of football be told without this player? Although Donovan McNabb has a much better resume than Randall Cunningham and, you know, even Michael Vick, McNabb is one of the most winning quarterbacks of the 21st century. He made it to 5 conference championships. He made it to a Super Bowl. He was one of the better mobile quarterbacks in the early 2000s. His passing numbers are up there with some of the best when it comes to career totals, for sure. But I just feel like if you let Donovan McNabb in, that opens a whole can of worms. Because if you let McNabb in, I don't know, you could justify, you know, guys like Matt Hasselbeck made a Super Bowl and his numbers are up there with McNabb's. And are you going to let Joe Flacco in, who actually has a ring and has made multiple conference championships? Is Matt Stafford a Hall of Famer? Philip Rivers, any semi-successful quarterback in the 2000s? I'm not so sure. Can the story of football be told without Donovan McNabb? I think so. Cunningham doesn't have the winning prowess that McNabb has, but the story of football cannot be told without Randall Cunningham. This is the godfather of mobile quarterbacks. It's the birth of the ultimate weapon quarterback, if you will. And I have a Sports Illustrated up on my wall in my studio that shows that ultimate weapon cover. He changed the game. He changed the most important position in all of sports. And look at what is required now in the NFL for teams to want to build around a franchise quarterback. It is that kind of ability. Mobility, size, arm strength. Cunningham would be perfect for the modern day NFL. I don't think you can tell the story of football without Randall Cunningham. Was he the first mobile quarterback in NFL history? No, but he was the first like guy that you said, oh my gosh, they built this quarterback in a lab. He can literally do it all. He had the most rushing yards for a quarterback in NFL history until Michael Vick broke it with the Eagles in 2011. I was at that game in Buffalo. So I say Cunningham, I'm okay if he makes it. I don't think he'd make it like the offensive linemen do. I don't think Cunningham makes it or McNabb. For the same reasons I'm talking about Cunningham, you could justify Michael Vick. I think that's even less likely with all of that, you know, the dog fighting scandal that put him in prison for over a year. But can the story of football be told without Michael Vick or Randall Cunningham? I'm not so sure. So based on my criteria, I say both of those guys do fit the mold. I don't think either would make it, but I could totally see it. More, and some people might disagree, but more than Donovan McNabb. A couple other players I'm not sure if they'll ever get in, but I think they will, are two of my favorite players growing up. One, DeSean Jackson, should 100% be considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you are another criteria of mine for the Hall of Fame, if you are the greatest of all time at something, it should be tough to keep you out. DeSean Jackson, to me, is the greatest. Is he a better receiver than Randy Moss? No. Is he a better receiver than Jerry Rice? No. The other guys that are with him in this category that I'm about to talk about. But when it comes to the best player of all time at catching a deep pass, when it comes to the biggest threat that a defense said when they thought of him, they said, oh my gosh, get back. That could make an impact with just one or two receptions or with none at all, just his presence on the field. DeSean Jackson, nobody tops him to me as the greatest deep threat of all time. And he's also one of, to me, the most talented punt returners in NFL history. Now, he doesn't have the numbers of Darren Sproles, Devin Hester, or a lot of those guys in NFL history, because after he got his money, I would say after the miracle in the New Meadowlands, honestly, in 2010, that was really his last noteworthy, you know, famous return. From 2011 to 2021, those 10 years, you know, the first 4 seasons, he was a big-time returner, but after that, teams really didn't use him that way because then he had cemented himself as a star receiver that they wanted to preserve. But he's one of the greatest he's the greatest deep threat ever, if you ask me, and he's one of the greatest returners ever. This guy has the most 60-plus touchdown receptions ever, tied for the most 80-plus touchdown receptions ever. He only has 2 less 50-plus yard touchdowns, and he's only below Jerry Rice, the greatest receiver by most in NFL history. I think it's Calvin Johnson, but regardless, semantics there. DeSean Jackson, to me, if he is the GOAT at something, which he is, and he's one of the most entertaining and explosive players in NFL history, can you tell the story of football without DeSean Jackson? I don't think so. If I was on the committee, he would have my vote. The other guy in that same era, one of the most electric playmakers in NFL history, is LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy, if you're the best player at your position for a decade, like LeSean McCoy was from 2010 to 2020, in that 10 years, he ran for the most rushing yards with 10,465. Outside of Barry Sanders, might be the greatest running back in the open field at making defenders miss. LeSean McCoy, I think, has a better chance of actually making it than DeSean Jackson. I'd put Jackson in over McCoy, but I think both should be in. By the way, from 2010 to 2020, he had the most rushing yards over the likes of Adrian Peterson, you know, Marshawn Lynch, Frank Gore, some absolute studs. But he also had the most overall scrimmage yards in that decade with over 1,400. He also had the most receptions in that 10 years for a running back and the third most receiving yards for a running back. I think when it comes to LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson, they should be in, or at least should get a really compelling argument to state their case and make it into canon. I got some more suggestions for you for former Eagles that should make the Pro Football Hall of Fame coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. But guys, first a shout out to one of our sponsors of the day, and it's the official sports book of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Bet Online, betonline.net. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports events at the number one online source for odds, line games. Find reviews and news for every league, including the MLB. The Philadelphia Phillies are rolling right now. They're catching up with the Atlanta Braves. Not only now are they going to, I think they're going to make the playoffs. It's just now about seeding. They could get even higher. Make sure you bet on the Phillies to hit that over. They are scoring points right now. Their pitching is looking good. Hammer the under on the other team. You can bet on some futures for the NFL. Who's going to win MVP, rookies of the year, comeback player of the year. Bet on the NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. Everything at BetOnline. Head over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today, because BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, Eagles fans, thank you so much for tuning in to this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. We're getting into former and current Eagles that have a chance, I think, after Dick Vermeil makes it on Saturday, to be the next Eagles to make it, to be enshrined into Canton, the Hall of Fame. I made the case for Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, heck, even Randall Cunningham, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy. A lot of my criteria, it's very open-ended because I feel like the Hall of Fame shouldn't be very strict. Yeah, you don't want to just throw anybody in there. It's why I don't want Donovan McNabb in there, but I have a more creative mind with what I want. I don't want to just look at stats or rings or wins. I ask a couple questions. Are you the greatest of all time at something? And I really live by two trains of thought here. Are you the greatest of all time at something? And can the story of football, pro football, be told without you? With that criteria, if you do check both of those boxes, I put you into the Hall of Fame. I want to keep it rolling with some Eagles that should be considered for the Hall of Fame. Another guy is the greatest tight end in Eagles history, the hero of Super Bowl 52, or at least one of them, Zach Ertz, who's still playing, who's still making his case, building that resume with the Arizona Cardinals. Zach Ertz has a really good case to make it. He's one of the best receiving tight ends in NFL history. Listen to Zach Ertz's numbers. He has the most receptions for a tight end in a single season with over 100 in 2018. So he's already got that record as a tight end. He had the most receptions in NFL history for a tight end through his first six seasons. He caught the two biggest passes in Super Bowl 52. He caught the game-winning touchdown against New England. He also caught that pass on 4th-and-1, which at center field, the Eagles are down 33-32. If he doesn't hold that football over the sticks and pick up that first down, the Patriots get the ball back in Eagles territory. The Eagles aren't winning that championship. So he's got the ring. He's one of the main reasons they won that ring. He's got the numbers. He's already 9th all-time in tight end receptions, only needs 107 more to get inside the top five. So if he gets like 40 for a couple more years, which he normally gets way more than that, even in Arizona, I think he's going to get more than that. He's probably going to be inside the top five within the next 2 years. Zach Ertz, his resume, numbers-wise, he checks the box. He's one of the best receiving tight ends in NFL history. He fits what the modern-day tight end needs to be. He has the performance at the biggest stage. I think Zach Ertz, and if he's going to be doing it now with multiple teams, making a big impact now in Arizona, where he might be the best tight end, or when he's all done, he might be the most accomplished tight end in Cardinals history. That's not really a high bar, but the fact of the matter is Zach Ertz has a pretty good case too. This guy does too. And no, I'm not bitter. I wish he would unblock me on Twitter. Although Darren Sproles did block me on Twitter, my guy, still love you. I still think that you have a good case to make the Hall of Fame. For anybody that wants to know why he blocked me, it was in 2019, I suggested the Eagles don't bring him back because they had spent a second-round pick on Miles Sanders, who's a do-it-all running back that I wanted to be used as a receiver. And I felt like if Darren Sproles was on the roster, this team would always feel pressured and felt more inclined to use him in those situations than Miles Sanders, who you spent a premium asset on. Darren Sproles only played a couple games that year, but he blocked me in the summer. But anyway, I digress. He's one of the most lethal dual weapons in the backfield in NFL history. And he's Mighty Mouse. He's tiny. So the NFL stories, he's like the Muggsy Bogues of the NFL, only way better. Muggsy Bogues wasn't amazing in the NBA. Darren Sproles, for a while, was one of the best receiving running backs in the NFL. He's also, like DeSean Jackson, one of the greatest punt returners in NFL history. He's tied for the fifth most punt return touchdowns ever. From 2010 to 2020, he had the most receiving yards for a running back. He's also top three during that span in receptions. So Darren Sproles, like those other players, one of the most explosive weapons in that decade. He did it with three different teams, super dependable, was efficient when he didn't get the same touches as some of those other guys because they were afraid of the wear and tear with his size. I think Darren Sproles has it's a unique story, as I said, with the size coming out of Kansas State. I think Darren Sproles has a pretty good argument to make the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying all of these guys are going to make it. I would predict the linemen do. I would say one of DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy get in. I think maybe one of Ertz or Sproles get in, but there's a good chance there's a lot of Eagles that are going to make it within the next decade. And most of them are on the offensive side of the football. When it comes to defense, like Fletcher Cox has a pretty good case. He's been one of the most dominant defensive tackles of his era from 2012 to 2022, the last decade. Only Aaron Donald has been a better pass rushing defensive tackle. Fletcher can maybe the best run stopping defensive tackle of the last 10 years. He has an all-pro season, a Super Bowl ring, six Pro Bowls. By the way, I saw this research from Ruben Frank a few years ago. 13 of 14 tackles that have made the Hall of Fame, or I should say 13 of 14 tackles that have made 7+ Pro Bowls, only one didn't make the Hall of Fame. Now, Fletcher Cox has 6 Pro Bowls, but it's only one fewer, and he has more sacks at 44 and a half, or he's got more now at this point. That was the research a couple years ago. With over 50, he's got more sacks than a lot of those guys, one less Pro Bowl, but he's got a ring, a top two player at his position for a decade, number one for a little bit before Aaron Donald came in. Fletcher Cox is a pretty good case. Outside of that, though, it's mostly offensive players. I'd say, too, like, you know, Eric Allen and Asante Samuel, they have a pretty good argument, too. Two of the best ball hawks in NFL history. You know, I'm kind of cheating here with Eric Allen, but after 1980, guys that started their career after 1980, he's in the top 10 in that era in interceptions. Asante Samuel is as well. So those two could definitely make a case. I think, though, at this point, if Eric Allen didn't make it, I don't know if he really will. Asante Samuel, I think I'd put in over Allen. But I think of the defensive players that have not been put in yet in Eagles history, I think Fletcher Cox is the name to keep an eye out for sure. But it's going to be interesting. You know, I love following this stuff each and every year. I'm a sucker for the history part of the NFL. As you guys know, I'm a nostalgic fan to a fault. The Hall of Fame was special to visit last year. Can't wait to see Dick Vermeil celebrate tomorrow. And you know, if any of those guys make it down the road, like I can't wait for the likes of Jason Peters to get in, DeSean Jackson. It's going to make me feel really old, but I can't wait to celebrate the players I grew up watching get enshrined into canon. So we'll see what happens. Who do you think has a good argument from the Eagles to make the Hall of Fame? Hit me up on Twitter at LockedOnBirds and at DiBiase LOE. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on all podcast platforms and on YouTube as well. We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure your second listen is the Locked On NFL podcast, all the news across the league in under 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your shows. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for watching and listening, and let's go Birds.